other five, Mildred walked across the silent sand and stood for several minutes at the water's edge. The noise of the rapids drowned out any other sound. For a moment, she thought she caught the faint scent of wood smoke from somewhere across the river, but then it vanished. She walked slowly toward the great bluff that dominated the bend in the deep canyon. Mildred noticed that the level of the water had fallen a little, and there was now a path visible around the bottom of the earth slip that looked like it would take her clear around it. She glanced behind her, but nobody was stirring. The water lapped at her sneakers, chilling her feet. By leaning against the cool rock, Mildred was able to maintain her balance, picking her way over the slick pebbles. Halfway around, she almost changed her mind and went back. But she was stubborn and kept going.
Daddy didn't raise no quitters.
Twice she stumbled and nearly fell into the nibbling water, but she kept angling her body toward the land. There were small plants growing in crevices in the dirt. Mildred crushed one of them between her fingers, holding its leaves close to her face and breathing in the sharp tang that smelled like a mixture of sandalwood and coriander. The bend of the river was opening before her as she advanced, and she glimpsed the first sight of another stretch of beach, the sand glinting in the starlight. Now she could stand upright without any fear of falling into the water. The shore was fringed with small trees and low scrub that eventually disappeared into the blackness. There was the momentary smell of wood smoke again that Mildred guessed must be from their own fire, whirled around between the high cliffs by convection currents. The sand near the fringe of the water was furrowed and scuffed up, and Mildred walked along the beach to investigate, puzzled by the marks that looked so much like where they'd pulled their own large inflatable out of the river. She never heard the steps close behind her, just the hateful, grinning voice in her ear.
Morning, bitch.
Jack woke from a vivid dream. He'd been sitting on a summer hillside in a field of cut wheat, looking up toward a farmhouse and a barn, both built in weathered wood. And there was a woman with him, her face turned away, wearing a thin dress of pink cotton, her hair drawn untidily into her nape. There'd been something not quite normal about her left foot. Jack knew her name, but the waking and the booming of the river snatched it away from him. He sat up, looking around him, sensing that dawn wasn't that far off, though the beach was in almost total darkness. A cloud had drifted across the face of the moon. There was time for an hour or so of sleep before they launched their raft onto the river again. Just as he was lying down, the boy noticed that someone was missing.
Mildred.
Jack stood up and looked around. The obvious answer was that the woman had gone into the clump of trees to respond to a call of nature. The teenager had spotted, soon after meeting Mildred, how squeamish and delicate she was over things like that, which he figured came from not being used to life in the Deathlands. But there was no movement around him. Jack took a few hesitant steps across the beach, his foot nudging the end of a dried branch. Immediately, both Ryan and JB sat up, Christy a split second behind them. Only Doc snored on.
What is it, Jack?
Mildred, gone.
Ryan uncoiled from the ground, looking toward the trees, turning back to Jack with a question on his lips.
Could be. Don't think so.
The strip of beach was so narrow and the towering cliffs so close that it only took them a couple of minutes to search the area and find that Mildred had indeed gone. Christy woke Doc, who rose mumbling from sleep.
Come on, Doc. Let's go.
Upon my soul, that is... Oh, by the three Kennedys! Could the lady have been swallowed by the waters, do you think?
Ryan looked around, glancing at the sky to try to judge how far off the dawn was, and guessed it was still an hour or more.
Could have done, but she'd only have gone to drink. And the sand shells are gentle.
Something out of the river? Muty fish? Lizard?
At that moment, the clouds cleared the face of the moon, and the deep wells of darkness became a little lighter. Ryan spotted the tracks immediately, winding down through the soft sand toward the edge of the river, moving parallel, south toward the great bluff that forced the water into a sharp turn. All five of them gathered there, looking at the narrow path, lapped by tumbling waves, that vanished around the base of the steep cliff.
Why'd she go there?
I would venture that it was merely the insatiable and endless curiosity of the species feminine, my dear John Barrymore. That and no more.
So we go after her?
Don't like it. Don't like it at all.
It was a situation fraught with potential danger. The path was so narrow and dangerous that it would have to be taken slowly, and one at a time. The light came and went as ragged clouds scattered themselves over the moon. And if there was someone waiting on the far side...
Come on, lover. Mildred could be in trouble.
No.
No?
No.
Ryan's face set like a marble mask. Deep shadows cut around his mouth, highlighting the deep scar that slashed across his cheek.
No, and I'll tell you why. The woman shouldn't have gone off alone like this. Triple stoop. Two possibilities is all.
Go on.
She's safe. She'll come back. We can't yell. She'd never hear us above the river.
But suppose the lady has encountered some peril beyond this cliff. Surely we should go and offer succor to her.
The only real possibility is Strasser. Either he's got her or he hasn't. But if he has, then the first person around the point there gets chilled. Maybe the second and third. We can't get over and we can't get around. Not by land, not in the dark. If Strasser's taken Mildred, he's chilled her. Or more likely, he'll try and hold her. There ain't a fucking thing we can do about that. Nothing.
Ryan turned on his heel and stalked back up the beach toward the smoldering remnants of their campfire.
They aren't coming, boss.
Court Strasser had been waiting, flattened against the high wall of rock and earth, holding his Stetchkin drawn and cocked. Over an hour had passed since the black woman had fallen into his hands, ready as a fresh apple. Now she sat near their inflatable, guarded by Rosa, who was using Mildred's own Czech revolver.
I think you're right. Ryan Calder has his failings, but being a triple stoop isn't one of them. Oh well, it was worth a try. Rafe, get the raft ready and we'll move on. I'll cover you in case they suddenly come at us by land or water.
It wasn't yet full dawn. Jack had placed himself as near the earth slip as he could, making sure he had the best view possible of the sweeping bend of the river.
Strasser!
Ryan ran to join him, staggering as his boot heel slipped into a patch of softer sand. There they were, bobbing away in their craft, a smaller version of the companion's inflatable.
Four. Strasser, woman, man, Mildred. Four.
There was enough light now for all of them to see that Jack was correct. Court Strasser was in the stern of the yellow raft, his unmistakable skull-like face turned triumphantly toward them, his mouth gaped open in a terrible grin. Over the river's roar, Ryan and the others could clearly hear Strasser's screech of victory. Within seconds, the frail craft had disappeared around the next tumbling bend. Ryan clenched his fists in a moment of almost paralyzing anger. Then he straightened and looked at his four friends.
Get launched.
The chase continued during the long hot morning, with the two rafts never more than a mile apart. On the occasional calm stretches of the river, Ryan's inflatable, with its extra paddling power, would narrow the gap. As soon as they came to the more dangerous rapids, the smaller and more maneuverable craft of Strasser's would ease its way ahead again. Half a dozen times they were in sight of each other. One Strasser opened fire at them. They saw him kneeling and taking aim with his sniper rifle, but there was no sign of a muzzle flash, and no bullet came anywhere near them. Ryan was tempted to try the G-12, but the risk of hitting Mildred was far too great.
Fucking bastard. You're gonna pay.
Mildred managed to keep her fears under control, holding on to her courage and watching for the one snatched moment that could mean freedom. The bobbing raft tossed and whirled down the gorge, waves constantly soaking everyone on board. Strasser made sure everyone was tied on safely, taking the extra precaution of binding Mildred by the waist to Rose's left wrist. The taciturn woman had Mildred's revolver stuck in her belt. Despite the noise and turmoil, Strasser managed to keep up a running commentary on what he intended to do when Ryan and the others fell into his hands.
Ooh. I definitely want to skull fuck Ryan. Flip that stupid eye patch of his and start hammering over it. Then I'll take that redhead and take her six ways to Sunday. And I hope I know.
Mildred succeeded in shutting her ears to most of the venom. She couldn't help hearing something of his plans for her. Fortunately, they reached her only in fragmented phrases, torn and whipped by the speed and noise of their passage. But it was enough to sicken her. His voice grated in her ears with its promises of the various ways he would inflict pain and degradation, the orifices of her body that he would enter and ravage, slice and burn, the instruments that he would use to cut and tear and scorch her, the senses that he would destroy, agonizing slowness one by one. And the pleasure that he would take in all of it.
remember any of this from the map?
Christie's wristband showed they were nearing noon.
Not much. There was a triple red dangerous place somewhere way south. Satan's